The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So as humans, we tend to be social beings. We interact together in families and communities and in our workplaces. And in doing so, we have quite a primal interest in being accepted and praised, and quite a primal interest also in avoiding being blamed and rejected. And this can be a real source of suffering in our lives, riding the waves up and down of acceptability. We tend to react much more strongly to blame than to praise. So one instance of blame can override many, many times that we've been praised. You may have noticed that in your own mind. And so this can inform, first of all, how we give out criticism to others. We can be aware that that will happen in them too, and our one instance of criticism could override many times that we've said kind things to them. And it can inform also how we give various kinds of criticism. We may also notice that when receiving criticism, we can have a very strong reaction, sometimes seemingly out of character, and we're surprised by how we responded, maybe with anger or with a lot of self-judgment. Or if we were a little bit intimidated by the person criticizing us, we may become overly apologetic or sort of obsequious in our response. So what's going on when we're doing that? The Buddha talked about this, actually. This is attachment to praise and blame, which is one of the pairs, four pairs that are called the eight worldly winds. And one of them is praise and blame, and another is good and poor reputation, or fame and disrepute. And there's also gain and loss, and pleasure and pain. Those are the four pairs. Actually, they're all about pleasure and pain. But it's nice to have a little more definition sometimes. So what we discover is that we can't really control outer criticism, right? We may spend a lot of time and energy trying to control it and acting in certain ways and in order to bring that about. But in the end, it's not entirely avoidable. So that's why it's called a worldly wind. It's just part of living here as a human. So what we do have some influence over is our response to situations like this. And in particular, when dealing with external criticism, there are some wise ways to respond. The first is immediately to ask, is this justified? Is this thing that I'm receiving, these words, what this person is saying, is there any merit to that or any truth? And look very honestly. And if it's true, and there is, then we're grateful and we say thank you. And that can be the end of it. There could be more, but that's essentially the response. We're grateful and we say thank you. And if not, it's not justified, then there's no problem and we can let it go. If we need to say something, we can say thank you, but I see it differently. This is maybe easier said than done, but it's nice to know that, you know, these are essentially wise responses. This is for external criticism, but maybe you've noticed that there's also some internal criticism that we have in our minds. And this is a little bit more immediate and something that we may handle more often each day. We may find our mind chattering away, telling us something often something critical. And then it's just a matter of applying the same method. Look carefully and ask, is this really true, what all this stuff is saying? And maybe it is, or maybe it isn't. About quite a large percentage of the time, it's not true. Most of our thoughts are not entirely true. So it's helpful to be aware of that. And even if what our mind is telling us is critical about is true, that's actually not so bad, because we can, again, be grateful and find something useful to do with that. Everything that comes up or that we find out about ourselves is juice for the path. It's not garbage, it's compost. So we can, the art is learning how to make that that transformation come about. So some ways of helping to aid that transformation can also be found among the teachings. And we can approach our inner critical voice from the angle of cultivation, not just the angle of letting go. As long as we have to have some kind of an inner voice, we can make it a more skillful one. You know, maybe inner silence is the best, but if we're going to have some kind of an inner voice, then we can make it a helpful one. So I'd like to offer a practice called right inner speech. It's very much like right speech, which is the third step of the Eightfold Path. But essentially, it means applying the qualities of right speech to the way we speak inwardly to ourselves. So there are generally five qualities that the Buddha described for right speech. They are that it is true, that it is beneficial, that it is gentle, that it is timely, means it's spoken at the right time, and that it's spoken with a heart of loving kindness. So coming from a genuine place of kindness, not somewhere that's bargaining or being passive aggressive or secretly has some other agenda. So we can check whether or not our inner speech has these qualities and try to direct it a little bit more towards having such qualities. Right inner speech is used to explicitly note and review our good qualities and to encourage us and to be kind about the small and large challenges that we face every day as humans, because there are always those. And you can note also that those five qualities don't include nice, necessarily, and they don't include uniformly positive or Pollyannish. This kind of speech can be very honest, even about our shortcomings or our weaknesses, but it's always kind and beneficial in some way, so that it's pointing towards the cultivation of something skillful. Basically, this is about speaking to ourselves with respect. So you can ask, do you speak to yourself in a respectful way? The steps of the Eightfold Path are meant to develop the qualities and the faculties that we need for awakening, for enlightenment. And so it's also useful to ask, what is this particular aspect of right speech developing? It's part of the path. What are we developing? So there are actually many, many things that right speech develops. But one in particular that isn't always thought about is the faculty that's called confidence, or sometimes called faith. Essentially, as we treat ourselves with respect, we come to think of ourselves as worthy of respect. So we nurture our own belief in our potential for awakening. This is the quality of faith. Do we walk around carrying the basic belief in our ability to awaken, our ability to be present with wisdom and compassion? And if not, why not? Why not? So I hope that you won't now criticize yourself for the tone of your inner voice. So, or for not being sufficiently confident, right? So you can listen to this and say, oh my gosh, my inner voice is terrible. I can't believe I speak to myself that way all the time. That's really bad. Do you see that this defeats the purpose? So self-criticism sets up its own self-sustaining loop. Actually, a lot of the hindrances and defilements work that way. So be aware that that can happen, and the tool for that is mindfulness. Mindfulness cuts loops like that. It cuts the self-reinforcing, unskillful loops that we set up in our mind. So I hope this short bit of speech that I offered was beneficial and timely for you. And if it wasn't, please let it go. Thank you.